All right, let's dive into the incredible world of Parvati. We got a request to explore this fascinating figure, and honestly, I can totally see why.
She's a pretty popular one.
We're gonna unravel her evolution from a mortal princess to the goddess of love and devotion and power.
Wow.
Dive into her captivating union with Shiva and her powerful role as a mother.
Yeah, and she's definitely a powerful figure in Hindu mythology, so this will be fun.
Buckle up, because this journey is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. Parvati's story, I mean, it isn't just the tale of love and devotion. It kind of delves into the very heart of Hindu philosophy. I mean, think about it. Her evolution from princess to goddess mirrors the potential for transformation within us all.
So let's start at the beginning. We know she starts as a princess, but there's clearly a lot more to her than just a fancy title, right?
Exactly. Right from the start, Parvati embodies Shakti, the feminine energy of the universe, a concept that's absolutely, like, fundamental to Hinduism. It's this energy that drives creation, change, and the flow of life itself.
Oh, okay, I see. So we're not just talking about a regular princess. She represents this vital force, like essential to existence.
Right.
It makes you wonder about the deeper meaning behind her choice to, you know, pursue Shiva.
Right.
The ascetic god.
That's where it gets really interesting. You see, Shiva is often depicted deep in meditation, withdrawn from the world, representing like a detachment from material desires. He embodies the forces of destruction.
Okay.
Which, you know, might seem kind of at odds with Parvati's life-giving Shakti.
Yeah, it does seem like a bit of a paradox. A princess representing this vibrant energy, pursuing a god who embodies detachment. The sources you sent over mentioned this was kind of central to their relationship, right?
Absolutely. Their story highlights the balance between seemingly opposite forces, creation and destruction, attachment and detachment, the material and the spiritual. Think about it. Like, destruction is often necessary for new beginnings, and detachment can lead to a deeper understanding of the self.
So Parvati, by seeking Shiva, she isn't just pursuing a love interest, she's seeking a balance.
Yes.
A union of these opposing forces that are actually essential to the universe.
Exactly. And this is like a key theme throughout like all of Hindu philosophy. The idea that seemingly opposing forces are interconnected and necessary for existence.
Wow.
Their union isn't just like a romantic tale. It's a cosmic dance, a symbolic representation of this fundamental truth.
I'm starting to see why you said her story reflects a potential for transformation within us.
Right.
It makes you wonder how those seemingly opposing forces play out in our own lives.
Exactly. It's something worth pondering. Now let's move on to another fascinating aspect of Parvati's story, her role as a mother.
From a cosmic dance to motherhood. I can't wait to hear about this, especially since we're talking about the mother of Ganesha and Kartikeya.
Yeah.
Those are two of the most well-known deities in the Hindu pantheon.
They certainly are, and their stories are deeply intertwined with Parvati's. Remember, we're talking about the goddess who embodies Shakti, the very essence of creation and nurturing.
Yeah.
Her role as a mother adds another layer to understanding this powerful energy.
So it's not just about giving birth. It's about channeling that creative Shakti into nurturing and shaping the destiny of these two incredibly important deities.
Right.
I have to admit, I'm especially curious about the story of how Ganesha got his elephant head.
Yeah.
I remember reading a bit about it, but could never quite grasp like the full significance.
It's a story that truly highlights Parvati's fierce maternal love and the lengths she'll go to protect her children. But before we get into that, let's take a step back and talk about the circumstances surrounding Ganesha's birth.
Okay.
You see, Shiva wasn't exactly present.
Wait, so Shiva, the god of destruction, wasn't around for the birth of his own son.
Well,
that's definitely a twist.
Yes, and this is where Parvati's independent nature truly shines. You see, she desired a child who would be completely devoted to her.
Oh, devoted solely to her.
Yeah.
Did she have, like, any specific reason for wanting that?
Some accounts suggest she longed for a child who would be entirely hers, independent of Shiva's influence, like a testament to her own creative power. So from her own divine energy, she...
Wow, so she essentially creates Ganesha on her own.
Mm-hmm.
This is where things start to feel like something out of a fantasy epic.
It certainly does. She forms Ganesha from sandalwood paste and breathes life into him. She instructs him to guard her chambers while she bathes, forbidding anyone from entering.
Okay, so this is where Shiva comes back into the picture, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And things probably don't go as smoothly as planned.
You got it. Shiva returns home, unaware of Ganesha's existence or the instructions given to him. When he tries to enter Parvati's chambers, Ganesha, loyal to his mother's command, blocks his way.
Oh, I could only imagine how Shiva reacted. A god known for his detachment and power being defied by a child made of sandalwood. Hmm. It almost sounds comical.
It's a confrontation fraught with tension. Neither Shiva nor Ganesha backs down. Shiva, enraged by this defiance, doesn't recognize Ganesha as his own son, and he doesn't take.
He didn't. He didn't harm Ganesha, did he?
Well, let's just say things escalate quickly. In a fit of anger, Shiva severs Ganesha's head.
Oh, wow, that took a dark turn. I can't imagine Parvati's reaction to seeing her son harmed like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the son that she created and entrusted with protecting her. What happened next?
As you can imagine, Parvati is devastated and furious. Like, her grief and rage threaten to unleash chaos upon the cosmos. To appease her and rectify his actions, Shiva.
He must have done something pretty big to calm her down. Did he use his powers to restore Ganesha?
In a way, yes. Shiva sends his followers out to find a replacement head for Ganesha, instructing them to bring back the head of the first creature they encounter facing north, a direction associated with wisdom and strength.
And that creature just happened to be an elephant.
Exactly. Shiva then attaches the elephant's head to Ganesha's body, bringing him back to life. This act symbolizes a profound transformation for Ganesha, imbuing him with the elephant's qualities of wisdom, strength, and the ability to overcome obstacles.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. From this really tragic event, this powerful symbol of resilience emerges. This story really highlights Parvati's, like, unyielding determination to protect her children and showcases Shiva's capacity for remorse and action. But what about Kartikeya? The outline mentioned he's a warrior god. Was his birth story just as dramatic?
Kartikeya's birth is fascinating because it reflects a different facet of Parvati's power. You see, Kartikeya wasn't born in the conventional sense. He was manifested from the combined energies of Shiva and Parvati, born out of a divine purpose to defeat a powerful demon threatening the cosmic order.
So unlike Ganesha, Kartikeya's very existence is tied to a larger cosmic purpose. He's almost like a divine weapon forged from the essence of his parents.
Exactly. He's raised by six celestial mothers, symbolizing the collective nurturing power of the universe. Kartikeya is trained in warfare and strategy, growing into a skilled and fearless warrior, fulfilling his destiny as the defender of the gods.
Both birth stories are so different, yet they both highlight Parvati's power in these distinct ways. Her independent creation of Ganesha and her collaborative manifestation of Kartikeya, it's almost like she embodies different facets of motherhood.
You've hit on a key point. Parvati's motherhood isn't one-dimensional. It encompasses fierce protectiveness, unwavering love, the ability to create independently, and the capacity to collaborate for a greater good.
Wow, she's truly a multifaceted figure. We've covered so much ground, from her evolution from princess to goddess, her complex relationship with Shiva, and her role as a mother. What overarching message or lesson do you think we can draw from her story, especially for someone like me who's just beginning to explore Hindu mythology?
That's a great question. I think one of the biggest takeaways is that Parvati, despite being a goddess, reflects the complexities of human experience. She embodies love, devotion, power, but also anger, grief, and determination.
She doesn't shy away from those emotions, does she? Even when they're powerful and potentially destructive.
Exactly. Her story teaches us that embracing the full spectrum of human emotion is part of what makes us whole. It's about finding balance, not suppressing or denying those aspects of ourselves.
That makes a lot of sense. It's not about striving for some idealized version of perfection, but rather accepting and integrating all parts of ourselves, just like Parvati embodies both creation and destruction, love and fury.
Precisely. Another key lesson is the power of devotion. Remember, Parvati's unwavering devotion to Shiva, despite his detachment, is what ultimately brings them together. It's a testament to the transformative power of dedication and commitment, not just in romantic relationships, but in any pursuit that's meaningful to us.
So it's not just about passive worship. It's about actively pursuing something we believe in, even when faced with obstacles. It makes you wonder if that unwavering devotion is also a key part of her success as a mother, especially considering the challenges she faced with Ganesha and Kartikeya.
That's an insightful observation. Her story suggests that devotion can be a source of immense strength and resilience, enabling us to overcome challenges and emerge even stronger.
It seems like there's so much more to unpack here, so many layers to Parvati's story that we could delve into. Do the sources provide any additional insights into her evolution as a goddess? Or are there any particular aspects you find particularly compelling that we haven't touched upon yet?
Well, one fascinating aspect we haven't really explored is her connection to nature. A lot of stories depict Parvati as like deeply connected to the mountains and forests and rivers.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, in some tales, she's even described as having been born in the Himalayas.
So it's not just about her being a goddess, but also about her being connected to the physical world, to the natural environment.
Precisely. This connection emphasizes the idea that divinity isn't separate from the world we live in. It's all around us, woven into the fabric of nature itself.
That's a beautiful thought. You know, it makes me think about how we often view the divine as something distant and separate from our everyday lives, when it might be closer than we realize.
Exactly. And remember, Parvati represents Shakti, that vital energy present in all living things. Recognizing her connection to nature reminds us that this energy flows through us, connecting us to something larger than ourselves.
Yeah, it's like we're all part of this like intricate web of life,
Yeah.
united by this powerful force.
Now, to answer your question about compelling aspects, one thing that always fascinates me is Parvati's duality. You know, she's often depicted as both gentle and fierce, benevolent and destructive.
We've certainly seen that duality play out in the stories about her sons, her fierce protection of Ganesha, and the collaborative creation of Kartikeya, a warrior destined to battle evil.
Yes, and this duality is a powerful reminder that strength and compassion aren't mutually exclusive. They can coexist with us. Parvati challenges the notion that femininity is solely about gentleness. She shows us that it can also encompass immense power, resilience, and the will to fight for what's right.
I'm realizing that her story really is about balance, the balance of seemingly opposite forces, both within herself and within the universe.
You got it. Parvati embodies this balance, and her journey encourages us to find that same equilibrium within ourselves.
Wow, this deep dive has been incredibly insightful. Parvati's story has really resonated with me, and I feel like I have a much deeper understanding of not just her character, but also some fundamental concepts in Hinduism.
I'm glad to hear that. Remember, mythology is a powerful tool for exploring complex ideas and universal truths.
Absolutely. I feel like I've learned so much about love, devotion, power, and the importance of balance. But as you said earlier, this feels like just the beginning.
It is, and that's the beauty of exploring mythology. There are always deeper layers to uncover, new connections to make. As you continue learning about Parvati, consider how her story speaks to you personally. What aspects resonate most deeply and why?
That's a great point. I'll definitely be pondering that. This has been such an enlightening conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with me
This
today.
is my pleasure.
And to you listening, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. I hope you found it as fascinating as I did. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.